Your heart beats faster and faster.
While much is too strange to be believed, nothing is too strange to have happened. T. Hardy. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Oh yeah, paranormal broadcasting, where if you ask us, we'll tell you, but if you don't, we're not going to give you any of the answers.
Hey gang, woo, we're back off the road and we're back live in studio and we're G&D chat room all night long.
That's right, and you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com.
And in case you were wondering, this is the Ghost Man, Sean B.
And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter.
This is the Sunday, June 29th broadcast of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Ooh, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schooner and Sean Burris, and it's broadcast live on Omnisound, KarmaCast, I Am Haunted, and Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal and Para-X Radio.
Okay, guys, get ready. Tonight's going to be a shocker. We got a paranormal fat cat in the house. Get ready, guys. First up, communicate with the dead in a whole new way. That's right. Author and paranormal investigator Rosemary Ellen Guiley stops by tonight to talk to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter. And we're going to be playing some clips tonight, guys. This is going to be a call-in show. We want your participation. We're going to be talking about the new exciting way to communicate with the dead. A lot of people call it the Radio Shack Hack, Frank's Box, Bob's Box, whatever. Tonight, we'll get to the bottom of it on the G&D Show.
That's right, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
Yes. I'm watching the monitors right now, really hoping that we're going to broadcast, Sean, because I don't see anything go... our system says we're going out live and hot, but the actual Java system that plays our show, I don't see anything on it, so...
Well, darn it, we always have something like that happen, don't we?
It seems that way these days.
It does. Well, I'm going to go ahead and sign in the chat room. Ghostman was running a little bit late tonight. This was Daddy's weekend with the kids. I'm getting a little talk back to myself here, Demon Hunter.
Let me see what I can do about that, Sean. Let me see what I can do. Is that any better?
But anyway, we had kids this weekend. I still a little bit, but that's okay. I was still had the kids. We went swimming. Today we sit in poolside out at my aunt's house, and I was reading the book by our friend, your friend, show of friend of the show, Kenny Biddle, author Kenny Biddle. I think, let's see. I got the book right here, guys. It's by the PIRA, of course, P-I-R-A, and that's Paranormal Investigators and Research Association. Ghost Stories, Our Gettysburg Experience by actual Biddle and Fodder. And, of course, we've had Kitty on the show. Great guy, great friend of the show. And you got to check out his books, guys. Go to Pyra, PIRA.com, and check out his stuff. Go out there, order his books, whatever it takes, because it's worth it, man.
It is, it is. I've actually read two of them so far. I'm enjoying them. I got to say, hey, Sean, we are broadcasting. We're live. We're hot. We're out there. I hope the world gets to hear everything we have to say. But,
yes, we are hot.
We saw Kenny this week, too.
We did. We got to see Kenny. That was a freaking delight. Plus his beautiful wife, Donna. She was there, too. And we was at the 2008 Haunted America Conference in beautiful Decatur, Illinois.
For those of you who caught our show last week, we had some great interviews with some great folks. But one person we did not get to talk to was Rosemary Ellen Guiley. And so she agreed to come on the show this week and talk about Frank's Box, what she was giving her lecture on last week at the conference.
That we didn't get to see.
Yes, well, we didn't get to see a lot last week, Sean.
Because we were actually doing this show for you guys, getting these hot interviews, so we actually show up to these places, guys, but we don't get to go enjoy them because We enjoy doing the show for you guys anyway, but we're actually doing interviews while we're there. We don't get to listen to a lot of the host spiels, you know, the big guys give on stage, but we get them backstage. We get to talk to them for you guys, so.
Well, Sean, while we're talking about all the great people we got to meet there, I do want to make a statement. I just saw, you know, we have some great people in the chat room right now. We have Ghost Chaser. We have our friend Amber from Ghostly Talk. Mm-hmm. We have, and we just had login, Paragator.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember Paragator, Sean?
I do. Big fan of the show, as I recall.
We friended Paragator on MySpace this week, and to our shock and amazement, you would have thought it was the Ghostman and Demon Hunter page, because she seems to be a big fan, and we appreciate it. I said it correctly just for you this week, Sean. We appreciate it greatly.
And that's something else, little brother, we was talking about. We were amazed. Okay, because we're not big time guys. We don't expect anybody to bow down to us. We're not. Me and Nathan does this because we love you guys. We love the paranormal community. We've never claimed to be anywhere in standings or how hot our show is. We come out here. Started this as a joke to just talk about paranormal topics. We didn't care if anybody listened, but we're absolutely glad you did because it'd get kind of lonely in here every Sunday night. But we started this with all the great intentions that we had. To talk about ghosts, and we've met some great people, and now, like Paragator, you know, I went to her MySpace page, and she's got our stuff all over there, and you know, she says we're her heroes.
We are under her heroes rating, and we do appreciate it. And in no way do you need to think that we're making fun of that Paragator. We actually appreciate it greatly. Also, just logged in our Marcy and Poison, so thanks for logging in, guys, and. I don't know, Sean. What do you want to talk about this week while we're getting ready for everything?
Well, let me finish up about the Paragator thing. One time I just want to say shout out to you, girl, because that was awesome that you put that up there. A lot of times we don't get to meet a lot of our fans, guys. We see the numbers. We get the feedback. Nathan will say, hey, you know, we had this many listeners or whatever, but we don't get to meet our friends. And then when you guys get us on MySpace and you show us, hey, we're here, we support you, we like what you guys are doing, it makes it worthwhile. So Paragator, thank you so much, and everybody else out there around the world that's listening to what's sure to be another great episode of the Ghostman Demon Hunter Show.
If we can, obviously, folks, if you haven't noticed, we just got back, like we said, from the 2008 Haunted America Conference, which we take all of our equipment with us when we go. Sean was at a picnic today, way too many beans. But
baked beans, thank you.
We go out there, we take all of our equipment with us, we set up, we do the show, and sure enough, we come home, and the first week that we're always back, there are a lot of kinks in the equipment because we have to reset everything. We have to put everything back together and reset it. So here we are. We might have a few kinks in tonight's show, but what we won't have kinks in is when Rosemary Ellen Guiley comes on and plays some of these Frank's Box clips that she has. Because I've listened to them. Wow.
It's amazing stuff, bro. I mean, it's top of the line, guys. It's a big thing that's out there right now, Nate, in the paranormal community. People are talking about the Radio Shack Hack or the Frank's Box. And I'm sure some of you guys have heard some of these, but not all of these. So we're going to have Rosie come on tonight. She's going to clear this up. And, Nate, if you will, little brother, I would like some people to call or get on the get in the chat room and tell us some of these. If you got questions, let's get them answered tonight. It seems like everybody's walked around this issue. If you don't believe in the Frank's Box or whatever, by God, put it in the chat room, and I'll tell Rosie, hey, this person doesn't believe it, but give me a reason why you don't.
And if you want to call in and ask a question while Rosie's on, don't get me wrong. We're going to make time. We have room. Make sure we have time for all the clips, but we will try and get you on to ask your question, and you can find all that information on how to call in right on our website at www.ghostanddemon.com at the bottom of the page. And, you know, Bonnie, how do people call in if they want to ask a question?
Okay, well, if anyone else wants to call in and talk on the G&D show, all they have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081 followed by the pound sign.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie. And don't forget, if you want to ask a question, you have to press 1-1 when you're done doing all that. So.
That's right. The beautiful Bonnie from, of course, the GT show. And, hey, man, but what did you think about last week's conference? That was amazing. We got to meet some big cats, Patrick Burns from Haunted Evidence on True TV, huh?
And I'll tell you, spending a night out with Patrick Burns can be paranormal. It really can.
It can be paranormal, and I believe it was, all the way up to the next morning. We're both nice, but, you know, guys, we got to meet a lot of crazy cats, including some of our fans of the show were out there. Thank you so much for coming up. I just want to say a special thanks to Troy Taylor and his beautiful wife and all his family for throwing these great events and having us come out. Troy, we love you. Thank you so much.
And thanks to everybody out there who took pictures and sent them in to us. If you took pictures at the conference, please send them to us, because neither Sean and I had our cameras with us at the conference, so we got no pictures.
I did, but I got to say, guys, something we just started, me and Nathan, we have these styrofoam skulls that we bought last October, I think it was, Nate, for Spooktacular.
For Spooktacular, yeah.
Yeah, and we've had these skulls. They've been traveling around with us, and we put them up on the – as much as we hate to part with one, we started at the last conference, started getting authors and stuff like that signed. So far, we got Patrick Burns signed it, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Kenny B, author Kenny B, and we got Keith H. and Spectrum in. They signed the front of the skull. And that's what we got so far, guys, on there. We're going to keep collecting autographs for you, and we're going to try to do something. We're going to try to raffle it off somehow. I don't know how, Demon Hunter, but we were thinking about it last. And we're doing this for you guys. I just want you to know. We got the famous skull. I'm going to try to get some pictures up and put them somewhere for you guys can see the skull. But we're going to try to give it away somehow. I don't know. Maybe
well,
the first
I
person
I know we're
going to
be giving away – also, we're going to be giving away – a couple copies of Kenny Biddle's book, The Dust to Orbs. Dust or Orbs.
Yes.
Dust or Orbs. And I think the first competition we're going to do, since those of you who have listened to our show before know we've had fun with the Booth Brothers. They did a great little re-entry clip for us for the show.
The Booth Brothers.
And so we're going to have a Sound Like the Booth Brothers contest. So I'll actually be playing that clip later on today when we come back from commercial. So your job will be to send us a clip at ghostanddemon@gmail.com
yeah.
of you sounding like the Booth Brothers. So that is our first.
Hot,
that's our first competition. Sound like the Booth Brothers competition. I'm going to post that on the website. You can also, if you don't have the means, if you're a ghost hunter, you really should have a recorder to do this. But if you don't, we do have a off-air phone number that you will be able to call and leave a message where you sound like the Booth Brothers. And we will pick a winner from the Sound Like the Booth Brothers competition. From those who the judges will be those who were with us when the Booth Brothers actually gave us that wonderful clip. That would be like Doug and Bonnie from Ghostly Talk and Scott L. and Amber and Sean and myself. And Tom, of that group, we will make the people to pick the Sound Like the Booth Brothers contest. And if you can sound like the Booth Brothers, you can win a copy of Kenny Biddle's book, Dust or Orbs.
Which is a great book, guys, because it addresses all kinds of different things. We need to get Kenny back on because Kenny doesn't come on and tell you what an orb is. He tells you what it isn't. And that's what I dig about his books, you know?
That's right. It's really cool. So, and I'll have to say, I've had pictures that I was just not sure about. I would have loved to believe they were paranormal, but I just wasn't sure about them. And I found pictures that looked just like the pictures I'd taken, and they explained them in the book. So,
right. Absolutely. And like I said, he's a great author, and he's a young author. And I definitely see him going places, Demon Hunter. I
indeed,
do.
Indeed, indeed. I really do, too. And I understand that there are some interest in these books. They're currently Kenny's having them published, and there's some interest to have them published by a larger company. So if you actually get one of these early on books, later on you will have a book that will no longer be available.
That's right. That's right, guys. But you know what? A couple of months ago, Demon Hunter, on the show, we were talking about real estate agents and a new law that was passed, at least in California, where the real estate agent has to tell a family if a house is haunted. Do you remember this?
I thought that was in Italy, Sean.
Maybe it was in Italy. I thought it was in Southern California.
No, I'm pretty sure it was in Italy.
Okay, it might have been in Italy. I'm sure there's something here in the U.S. that's in the works or just happened recently to where – because there was a lawsuit about somebody here, I think in Southern California, that moved into a house and it was haunted. And they said it was a vicious ghost and they wanted to sue the real estate company. And they came up with something. But I don't know if it held water or not. But I got this story, guys. It's vicious ghost – forces family from home. It says, It says the terrifying antics of a vengeful ghost forced a family to flee their dream home in horror. The house was everything we ever wanted, recalls Marisa Jones, a Sun Reader from Atlanta, Georgia. But within days of moving in, my husband John and I had run-ins with a female ghost in our master bath. Their 9-year-old daughter Joanne told them that one or something yanked her ponytail while she was standing before the mirror in the haunted room. The next day, I took a picture of her hovering in front of the vanity, says John, 46. After weeks of playing hide-and-seek, I finally had a proof to show our friends and relatives. The determined couple agreed they were going to give up their home without a fight. No matter how much stuff she threw around our blood-curdling howls she made in the middle of the night, we tried our best to ignore her. Marisa says, but all the bets were off. When I was washing my hair in the shower one night and the water turned scalding hot, I stumbled out as quickly as I possibly could, but I suffered second-degree burns on my back and arms. The pain was incredible, and the doctor said I was very lucky there was no scarring. By the time Marisa was released from the hospital, John and Joanne had packed up all their belongings and moved out. It's not the best time to try and sell real estate, but I'm not risking their lives or my life or the life of my family, John says. As far as I'm concerned, the spirit, monster, whatever, can have it all. So there you go, guys. There's another story out of Southern California from a home that has been terrorized by a ghost where they believe some bad stuff's happened there. Some bad juju, now, if you will, in the house. And they left their house.
They had a problem with a ghost. They're ready to move out without a fight, but they haven't even had anyone come in to look at what was going on. A paranormal
group. Well,
that's true. To find out, maybe they could have debunked it.
They might have been able to debunk it. I don't know how you could debunk a specter floating above the vanity, but,
but you
unless
know what?
Somebody's
maybe,
on drugs.
Maybe
know.
They could have done something to help it, Pat, but no, they're just going to leave without a fight. And sometimes that's understandable, but... Like I tell people all the time, they hear I studied demonology, they immediately think everything's a ghost and a demon. And I
sure.
don't. I tell people all the time, the best thing I can do to walk in is to walk in and tell these people they don't have a problem. And,
right.
You know, so I really wish they'd sought out help before they just decided to move.
I do too. You got to remember, they got a 9-year-old daughter, and a lot of people anymore don't believe in the hocus-pocus, mumbo-jumbo spiritual side of life. And this could be one of those couples. I don't want to judge because I don't know them personally, but some people, rather than call for help on something like this, would rather just move out of the home. And I think that's why a lot of these paranormal groups are started. They're there to help people, and you won't have to lose your dream house. It says right here in the story, these people love this house. They waited for years. They saved up the money. They found this house. And now they left it, abandoned.
Yeah.
They wouldn't stay there no more. So, you know, that's another story, guys. Of course, that comes out of Sun Magazine, guys, that brings us our – it's like World Weekly News. Every once in a while, you get, like, a new story. Or not a new story, a real story. And the rest of them are kind of up in ours. But you know what, Demon Hunter? My cousin came into town this weekend, and he's from Paris, Texas. Old Perry, Texas, if you will. And he was telling me about the Bigfoot. Because I guess that's one of the leading places for Bigfoot sightings in the nation is Paris, Texas.
Okay.
And he was telling me about all the sightings that they've had out there, and it seems like every day, he said on the news, the local news, they have people going out there making casts of these Bigfoot prints. And he said it's amazing. It's everywhere you go. There's little T-shirt shops. Hey, I seen Bigfoot. Hey, I'm a Bigfoot or whatever.
Do you
whatever.
Know what I remember of Paris, Texas?
What's that?
Do you know what I remember of Paris, Texas?
What's that?
I remember that in Pee-wee's Big Adventure, that's where the waitress wanted to go. She kept saying she wanted to go to Paris, and the next thing you see, she's on a bus to Paris, Texas.
Was it really going to Paris, Texas?
I think that was the joke. She kept saying she wanted to go to Paris, and then the next thing you see, she's on a bus to Paris. And so the only Paris that and they were down there in Texas. The only bus to Paris would have been Paris, Texas. So,
well, you know, my cousin Dave brought that up today. We was down there, and it's amazing because they're coming out with a new show, Bigfoot Hunters or Bigfoot Researchers, whatever. And I forget the gentleman's name down there. You have to forgive me. I know he hasn't been on our show yet, I don't think. But he started it out that way. He's one of the leading investigators when it comes to Sasquatch research, Bigfoot research, and who was it that we had on the show looking for the lizard man? Remember that? He called in live on the scene looking for the...
That was, you hit me with a question like that. Started with a J. I remember that. Give me a second to remember it. Because, you know, my memory with names, not the best.
Well, you don't have to, yeah, we don't have to have the name, but you remember him calling
in. I think
in.
It was either I think James Snell or Jeffrey Stewart, one of those.
Man,
two.
You do, Snell, you do have Snell. A good memory. It was Jim Snell.
Okay.
Jim Snell. So yeah. You and me together, see, we come up with it. It was Jim Snell, man. How cool was that, guys? Ghostman Demon Show brings you this cat out there looking for the Lizard Man live on location. But, you know, I just... You know, at the Troy Taylor Festival, man, they gave away, what do you call them, cast?
Plaster casts of the Bigfoot. And that was, you know, I wanted the coffin, but I really wanted one of those plaster casts of the Bigfoot. And I was very upset when I didn't win one. Of course, like I said, you know, I don't think they even put my tickets in the barrel. Because
I
usually
you know, people
win that
walk
kind of stuff.
Well, we didn't get the coffin, which I'm kind of glad because the cobalt would have been weighed down on the way back to Indiana. Nathan already told me, but that was a cool coffin. Anyway, I just wonder, man. Everybody talks about Sasquatch and Bigfoot. Everywhere you live, I don't care. Somebody's had a sighting or a weird story. I just wonder, Nate, if you're walking through the woods and you come upon this, and you know you're in a secluded area, you know it's not highly traveled. I mean, what's the probability of somebody coming through with a Bigfoot rubber-stamped foot and putting it right there and going, I hope somebody finds that before the rain washes it out or in the next 20 years or whatever. I mean, honestly.
And if they're laying that many of them out, if that many are being found, how many must be getting laid out for that to happen, you know?
Absolutely. You would have, that'd have to be your full-time job. The government would have to pay somebody.
That, well, maybe they are, trying to get people's attention away from the upcoming election.
That's true. And I haven't seen George Bush in the news a lot lately, folks. There's your Bigfoot. He might be out stamping.
He's out there
the
with two giant feet strapped to him, like those hobbit feet running around in the woods. But, yeah. Hey, Sean, before we go any further, I just lit up my cigar of the night, and that's a La Vencedora, and it's a Cameroon La Vencedora, and it's very tasty, but I want to take this chance to tell everybody about our weird location of the week.
Yes.
Because I've been mentioning it for the last 2 weeks and haven't gotten to tell anybody about Dudleytown.
Dudleytown. Great place that I've never been, but I've heard so much of.
Well, you can't even get there anymore, Sean.
I know.
Technically, you cannot go to Dudleytown. Now, I know plenty of people who say they have gone to Dudleytown, and I know people who have been to Dudleytown, but right about now, you can't go. And it's actually in Cornwall, Connecticut. Dudleytown was a mining town.
Did you say Cornhole, Connecticut?
Sean. Cornhole. Sean. There goes our radio this week. We've just been taking off the air. Cornwall, Connecticut.
Yes.
They deep in the woods, you'll find Dudleytown. And, you know, right about now, all you find are some holes in the ground and a few cornerstones. But it is said to be an area of extreme paranormal activity. Visual orbs have been seen, streaks of light. I've seen pictures that John Zaffis' group took while they were out there. Incredible photos of just things moving around. Hollers, screams. The thing that always drove me crazy about Dudleytown, because I've not actually been in it, but I've been near it, is that there are no birds. You're walking through the woods, there are birds chirping, squirrels running around, everything. You hit Dudleytown, it's a dead town.
See?
It's a ghost town. There's no movement of anything anywhere. It's privately owned now, and the owners on either side will not let you through. But you can get near it by traveling through the state park, I believe. That's how I've gotten close to it. But, like I said, the original passageway was a long, shadowy road overlaid with trees. And just as you entered, it was like entering something from the Sleepy Hollow movie. With, who is that guy that plays all the weird roles? You love what? Sleepy Hollow, Sean. What was the movie about that came out?
Johnny Depp?
Johnny Depp.
Thank you. My God, Johnny Depp, Sleepy Hollow. Best movie ever, by the way, folks. But it's a remake. Thank you.
You drive through, and it looks like something out of that, because it's just these dead trees hanging over you. No life grows. It's such thick, so thick that very little growth grows around it. From the trees, and it's just it's a bizarre place.
And Nathan, guys, my brother Nathan, Demon Hunter, he is one of the ones that I know that has personally been to Dudleytown.
Well, I've been near, like I said, I've gone to the trail along Dudleytown. I've never gone inside, right? Because I don't break the law, And
sure,
technically at this point you can't. But you can find out more about Dudleytown on John Zaffis' site, which is prsne.com. And you can find a lot about it if you go to our friends Mark and Mark at WeirdUS at WeirdUS.com. Go to the Strange Places on their website. You can check this out in other places, or you could come out here to Connecticut and sneak in and get arrested. But I recommend you go to www.WeirdUS.com, check out this and many of their other weird locations.
Well, absolutely, Demon Hunter. And, you know, I've heard so much about Dudleytown. I actually seen something on Discovery Channel talking about it, for God's sakes, and I started thinking about you. But, you know, you mentioned the birds don't chirp out there. Now, I've been to one other place like that, guys, and, of course, it was an old cemetery out here in Indiana. It's been rumored. It's Boone Hutch Cemetery out here in Indiana. It's rumored to be haunted forever. I mean, ever and ever, and it sets up on this hill at the very top, but there's trees surrounding it. I've been out there several times, Nathan, and the birds do not chirp. They will not chirp around there. You don't hear anything but the wind possibly blowing through the leaves on the trees. And I just wonder, because, you know, when a storm moves in, the birds will stop chirping, the crickets will stop chirping, they'll take off.
Right.
Everything scatters. And that has to do with magnetic fields, I would imagine. The temperature change, the vibration change, you know what I'm saying? I just wonder what that is. What's the element? If there's a link there between, like, storms and paranormal forces. You know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying exactly.
I've always wondered about that, because, you know, when a storm's moving in, you hear everything go silent.
So if there's high magnetic fields, like when those storms come in, they bring in ionized air, magnetic fields, stuff like that. Do you think that the ground is the actual area, the haunted area, is giving off that and would stop the birds as well?
Yeah, that's a good question. I wonder if Rosie could answer that tonight.
If you went to a place like that where birds don't chirp and stuff like that, and you brought like a canary or something, if it would shut up.
Or if it would die.
Yes.
If it would just die.
Talk about the canary test.
No canaries were harmed in the broadcast, making of this broadcast tonight. Except one, and he's better now. Oh, man, I don't know. But what was it? The well diggers used to take the canary down in the pits with them if they died. They
well
knew
diggers
the
and miners, yep, in case they hit a gas pocket.
Right, right. We need to have something like that in the paranormal community. We need a bird, a dog, a cat, which I know people who have psychic dogs and cats. But we need something to just go out with us. And I guess if we get close enough to a ghost, maybe not die. That's a little harsh. But, you know, at least stand its tail up or something. A ferret. I don't know. Maybe the ferret could bite your hand or something if you see it. Huh?
No, sorry. I was just doing an Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation. It was a bad one at that.
Maybe we could have a gopher. A gopher. Paranormal gophers. Everyone should have one. We could sell them, guys. They'd go around your neck. You could pet them. They're cuddly. You can sleep with them at night. And then when you're in a cemetery or haunted place, it'll go, it'll poop on you or something if the ghost comes by. What do you think?
It sounds like a plan to me, Sean. You should start breeding those.
I'm going to start breeding them now. I was actually working on it today. I was throwing beer cans at gophers. They were coming out of the ground by the pool, and I was throwing empty beer cans at
them. See, we don't get gophers over here. We get woodchucks. So
the woodchucks. That would be better if I was chucking beer cans at woodchucks. See what I mean? Oh, yeah, the Demon Hunter, the official beer sponsor of tonight's show, Budweiser. King of beers, guys. I had to go low jingle today. I didn't have much time, and all we had was a six-pack of 16-ounce tall boys. But special thanks to the St. Louis Brewery, Budweiser, King of Beers. Thank you.
All you PETA listeners out there, no woodchucks were harmed in the recording of this episode of Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
There was a couple dirtied up, but they weren't harmed at all. Some of them might smell like beer, but they're okay now. So, but anyway, man, we got, I can't believe we're back. My head's still spinning. It took till Thursday for me to realize I was back home in Indiana and everything was going down. Then I had to work a double shift, guys, yesterday, and I got the kids this weekend. So I am way off kilter. This show, who knows what's going to happen? All I got to say is you guys better participate. Be calling in, better be hitting the chat room because I'm watching it right now. You guys have Rosemary Ellen Guiley on our show tonight. She's talking about one of the number one hot topics out there right now. Frank's Box, the Radio Shack hack, whatever. Demon
now,
Hunter, this
could
be a whole new way.
Know, Sean, you know they're two different things. The Frank's Box and the Shack hack are two different things.
Well, but they come from the same idea.
They do come from the same idea, but they use two different methods. One uses a broadband of frequencies, and one uses a very narrow band of frequencies.
I do not know that, Demon Hunter. I apologize to you and our listening audiences. I guess it's a good thing we got Rosemary Allen Guiley on tonight, for she can clear that up for me. You know?
Indeed. Hey, what do you say we take a quick break? When we come back, we'll have our very own Gore Girl with Inside the Horror.
Absolutely, guys. Stick around. Gigi up next. She's going to get horrific right on you. Stick tuned. Stick tuned. Stay tuned.
When you thought you've seen it all, here comes Scarefest 2008, crawling with real ghost hunters, cryptozoologists, paranormal experts, even exorcists. We've also invited stars from the House of a Thousand Corpses, the Devil's Reject, and we're hosting our very own Friday the 13th reunion. Make plans now to meet your favorite stars at the Scarefest, the biggest horror and paranormal convention in the Southeast, September 12th to 14th at Lexington, Kentucky's Lexington Convention Center. We're waiting for you right now at thescarefest.com. Just don't come alone.
Hey, this is Nathan S. of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. When we needed a logo that would tell people what we were all about but was different from anything else out there, we went right to Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com. We love the artwork that owner and illustrator Jonathan Sullivan came up with so much, we ordered our t-shirts and banners from Loki Graphics right away. They provided us with high-quality graphic art, screen printing, and helped us pick out the best value for our t-shirts and other products that fit our budget. LokiGraphicsInc.com is the official graphic designer and screen printer for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show. Phone, email, and postal orders are all accepted, with contact information available on their website. Shipping is available for any order, or if you're local, you can stop by the shop and pick up your finished product. Check out Loki Graphics at LokiGraphicsInc.com and tell them the Ghostman and Demon Hunter sent you.
Hi, this is Keith Johnson of Near Paranormal, and I love the Ghostman and Demon Hunter. Their show rocks!
And just for everybody who was wondering out there, I just did turn the phones back on. We had them off for a while there. I didn't even realize it. I've got 9 million buttons and 6 million lights all around me, so it took me that long to figure it out. But hey, Sean, we're back. Sean. Sean's not there, so I'm going to ask the important question of the evening.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Yo! Twin City! Yo! Boys 5'9". Y'all want to make a movie?
Gigi! What's going on, Nathan?
Gigi, you're back!
Nathan! Let's go to Candyman, Nathan!
No, because I get in trouble every time I ask to go to Candy Mountain.
Would that be from Bonnie?
Yes,
apparently,
yes, it would.
She doesn't like Charlie too much. So what's going on? We lost Sean?
I don't know. Sean sent me a quick message that said he had to run away from the counter there for a second, and I didn't see it until we came back from break. So
okay.
We're back, and you're back, and that means you have, I don't know, however long it takes him to get back, to tell us about this week's movie without him interrupting you.
I know, right? I'm excited. I'm like, oh my god, I have to hurry up. Well, actually, I went and saw Wanted, okay? And I know it's not your typical paranormal movie and things like that, but this movie rocked because, I mean, I don't know. Did you ever hear about it?
I've been watching the previews for it. It actually looks very interesting, and I want to go see it.
It is, because it is so funny. It's actually based off a comic book series. And, I mean, you kind of go into it. You're not sure what to expect after, you know, coming off all the Marvel stuff. You're like, oh, God, is this going to be a genuine film, or is this going to be some sort of, you know, crazy, cliched sort of version? And you're kind of going into it not sure, but this movie just came out, and it stars James McAvoy. Everybody knows him from all his sensitive male roles that he does, and he does quite well. Angelina Jolie and Samuel L. Jackson, which I don't know, but it seems to me like Samuel L. Jackson never makes a bad movie. Like, it doesn't matter what happens in the story. For some reason, he's in it, and you're like, yeah, that movie's pretty decent.
I was joking with somebody today. They were saying how that James Earl Jones could do nothing wrong. He could just read and you'd sit there and listen. And I told them, well,
oh God,
he already did that. He read the entire New Testament of the Bible. You can get James Earl Jones reads the Bible. And, you know, it's just like, I'm sitting there waiting to hear him, like, the scene where the light,
Jesus.
Yes, the light comes around Jesus and the doves in the air when he's getting baptized. He's like, this is my son.
Yeah, I am your father. Oh my God.
But there's just actors like that that can do no wrong.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, and it doesn't even matter what kind of movie it is. It doesn't matter how crazy it is. Like, Snakes on a Plane. It just doesn't matter. Because it's Samuel L. Jackson. So you're like, oh, wow. You know, like, this is crazy.
Apparently Sean is back.
Sorry about that, guys.
What's going on, little sister?
Nothing. I miss you guys, man. We had a great time in Haunted America.
I have to say thank you to yourself and your other, because she gave me a great book. I've been reading all week. I couldn't put it down, and she's totally
really?
Cool. She rocks. So, yeah. Yeah, she's a big G&D show fan, and we love her, too, so.
Yeah, she's totally into G&D, but, man, that's awesome that you're reading it. Would you like to tell the audience what you've been reading, Sean?
Well, I don't know. I don't want them to think I'm some new age hippie type guy. But I am a dirty
If you're reading that book, Sean, you are a dirty new age hippie type.
So, I'm the hippie without the chronic, you know what I mean? I just got drug tested on Monday, guys, so I'd let everybody know I do have a clean bill of health. I have no THC or whatever in my system. No, I'm not a cokehead. Thank you. Demon Hunter, I knew you were wondering.
How did you pass on Monday if we were at Decatur?
Because they don't check for alcohol.
Yes, if they check... If they checked for alcohol, this show would be off the air. My goodness! All I got to say is, sponsors the GD show. What did I interrupt?
Who mandatized the drug screenings? Like, so comes at you. Did you mandatize the drug screenings? Because I don't know. I can't do this. I just can't do it.
Yeah, I think it did.
I'm tired of having to, you know, go in the cup before the show. I can't do that anymore.
Well, no, that wasn't actually required. I just thought it was funny.
Oh, see? Truth comes out. No.
So what did I interrupt?
We were discussing...
Just a movie review. No big deal.
I'm sorry. I'm really. Sorry.
We were trying to get it out before you came back on.
We were discussing
like,
the...
Quick.
We were discussing the movie Wanted.
Yes, we were.
That's the story about me, isn't it?
Well, it was last weekend. I don't know.
All
right. What's going on over there?
Yeah, everybody was coming up wanting a picture with Sean. Meanwhile, the Demon Hunter was sitting over here going, I wouldn't mind taking a picture. I'll just...
Whatever, you got your pics in. I see you over there posing.
You know, Sean,
yeah,
you really got to learn the timing.
In.
You really got to learn
was,
the
like,
timing.
Signing those for the 18, 19-year-old twins. Yeah, whatever.
Those were friends of my nieces. Yeah.
Okay.
That's hot right there.
That
is hot. Only in Connecticut, folks.
I don't know this director's last name. It's like Becca Membator. I'm not really good with it. It's like Manila. I don't know. G&D, we're not very good at pronunciation of foreign
really.
Things.
Yeah.
I don't know. Unless it's like Toyota. I don't know. We're not very good on pronunciation. So anyway, I do know that he's the guy that directed that vampire series, which, Nate, I believe you're into vampires, aren't you?
Yes. Which vampire series would this be?
That would be the Daywatch Nightwatch series.
Ah, that didn't last long.
Yeah, well, do you know he's come out with a third one?
Is he?
Or actually, I think he just came out with it.
Well, that'd be cool.
Yes. So, I mean, I actually saw those because a friend of mine was insanely interested in them. So I actually went and watched them with her. We had, like, a whole fest one weekend. And I don't know. I kind of got into it, but I thought it was a little long. I was like, all right, whatever. I get the points, like, 17 hours ago. That was great. I don't know. I know not a lot of people dug it. They were kind of like, no. But anyway, he directed this, so you're kind of like, great. Is this going to be like, you know, another Night Watch or something? Oh my God, no! This movie's a wow. It's a wow. And basically, it's about. I know you guys have seen the trailers. Everybody's seen all the stuff for it, all the promo and everything. But it's about this really morose assimilated office worker named Wesley Gibson, and he stopped all forms of feeling. basically his numbness is amplified every day as he like slumps through hopelessness, and he's constantly brutalized by his boss, his best friend, his cheating girlfriend. So just when boredom begins creeping into our own pupils, he's actually approached by an ancient society known as the Fraternity. They're highly skilled assassins, and they receive sort of what you'd call their kill orders from what they like to label the loom of fate. So they kill according to its weavings. Yeah, I know, I'm waiting for Sean to laugh at any moment.
But I was just wanting to say, was this like Attack of the Amazon Women? Because I always want to go to like an island with a bunch of naked chicks, and they just kind of seduce me, and then they kill me at the end and eat me or whatever, you know.
Yeah, we were all waiting for them to kill you too, Sean.
Eat me.
Right.
I think this should be the G&D movie. You know how they have Jay and Silent Bob, you know, go to Hollywood? They should have, like, Ghostman Demon Hunter, and it should be, like, Amazon women attacking John. I think it'd be hysterical. Yeah. It'd be like one of those B-drive-in movies. It'd be great.
Yeah, just eating my brains from my skull.
Exactly. Yeah, as long as, like, in the movie I got a little pet dog that has shag carpet over it, like the killer shrews.
You're ate up, Sabrina.
It's my killer shrew! So anyway, back to the weaving and the loom of fate. So apparently, Wesley's long-lost dad was a top member of the society, and he was recently murdered, basically leaving Wesley to follow in his footsteps. So as Wesley is put through vigorous training, he watches as his reality deteriorates, his friends die, and the society that his father committed his whole life to bites off more than it can chew. So basically, it's kind of like, can Wesley survive his dangerous new world, or better yet, can he survive himself? It's kind of one of those deals. But, like, I'm serious. You walk into this movie not knowing what to expect. You've seen the trailers. You're like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Wow. This movie rocked. Like, I was like, yes, good times. Oh, my God. It had over-the-top action sequences, and there was so much dark humor. But, see, the comedy was crucial because it's a look at our own, like, perversions and innocent frailties. So I just got a kick. I mean, nothing goes on. You're just – it's witty. It's sharp. It's explosive. It's on the dot. You're like, yes. You just love the banter. I'm all for the writing. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I mean, it was just great. And the sequences, it's not obvious comic book sequences like, oh, yeah, this is crazy characters and things like that. But it does have that feel to it. There's certain scenes, the way they play out, you're like, wow, you know, just neatly orchestrated. And I mean, oh my God, the way it comes together, McAvoy rocks. I mean, he's not really an action hero. I don't know where people get the idea he's an action hero, because he's more like, you know, Ralph and all his other buddies that do the sensitive period pieces. And you
isn't
know,
that the tennis pro? Isn't that the tennis pro, McAvoy? McElroy?
No, you're thinking of, oh God, what's that guy?
You totally blew it, Sabrina. You totally blew it now.
Oh God, I can't remember. What's his name?
McEnroe. McEnroe, yes, yeah. Believe me, I know. I grew up watching him play.
All the time, like through his tennis racket.
Yes, and now he's making cereal commercials.
If the name would have popped up, we would have saved that joke. But I'm sorry. I'm like,
does that register actually as a joke? Because I just don't think it went over too well. You know, it kind of fell apart. I could visualize
the guy in my head, but it just wasn't happening. It wasn't working.
Well, this is like live radio, folks, so you're going to hear either the jokes go through or the ones that don't go through down the tube.
Usually when they're Sean's, they don't go through, so
down the tubes, down the tubes. That's a reference I'm gonna keep for later, guys. Go ahead. Down the tubes.
So how did McEnroe do in this movie, Gigi?
McEnroe, well, he was great. That's great, throwing those rackets. No, I mean, McAvoy was actually, I was surprised, because obviously he nailed the first half of the movie with, you know, the whole being conformist and, you know, being bored with life and just basically giving up before life. I mean, basically how everybody in America feels, you know, everybody in the world feels. It's like, if you don't have a goal, if you don't have passion, if you're just living each day with really no aim, I mean, there's really no point. You just stop feeling. So, I mean, he played that perfectly. But like I said, he's that sensitive period guy, so he gets that. But, I mean, he turns into an action star, and you're kind of like, am I buying it? But I bought it. I mean, it's okay. It's all right. It's he's okay for this movie. It was good, but I don't recommend he like go Schwarzenegger anytime soon. I don't think that'll work out for him. But I have to say, I was so disappointed with Angelina Jolie, because you know she was like, you know, years ago, action babe. Soon as she did Laura Croft, she was like everywhere. She was like in every, you know, high speed chase. You know, she did, you know, Gone in 60 Seconds. I mean, she was just the bad girl that you were like, yeah, you know, you're rooting for her. Man, she just lost her passion. She's just, I hate to say it, Angie, but I think you're done. You're just done. I don't know what she's got going on. I know she's got all those kids that she's raising. It's like a zoo over there. You know, I know she's probably got to comb Brad Pitt's hair for him 50 times a day or something, but I mean, seriously, yeah, what is that, the Marsh Brady thing? I mean, no, seriously, she's just, I don't even know, like, watching her in this was painful, because there's, like, no feeling. It's like she doesn't care anymore. It's almost like she really is in real life what James McAvoy's character portrayed in the beginning of this film. It's just sad. I mean, you don't feel anything off her. Even when she was Laura Croft, man, like, you were like, wow, you know? It was a pointless movie. It was just based off the Tomb Raider series, but you were still like, wow, Jolie kind of kicks, you know? She's awesome. And this one, you're like, really? Just go back, go adopt some more children, and just be the end of it, because you're done. This is not, it's just not good anymore. I don't like it. But yeah,
adopt a small country while you're at it.
I think she did.
She's raising an army. Actually, they're one of our biggest viewers. Come at it. I'm surprised Demon Hunter hasn't said tonight's listeners are it's Angelina Jolie's kids.
It's actually... I don't know. She's really not the reason to see this. And I know a lot of guys were like, oh, Angelina Jolie wielding guns again. Yeah. Man, it's not the same like back in the day. It really isn't. So I'm just like, eh. You know, I hate to say it, as sissy as James McAvoy is, he was way better than Angelina in this movie. But, man, you got Samuel L. Jackson coming in as, like, the leader of the society. I mean, of course, he just does a great job, as usual. You're just kind of like – or, I'm sorry, it wasn't Samuel L. Jackson. I kept saying Samuel L. Jackson. It was Morgan Freeman. Sorry. Apparently, I have Samuel L. Jackson in the brain, and I just let a fantasy go.
Okay, we took a pause for that fantasy.
We took
a pause for your fantasy. Now we can continue.
I was like, oh my god, I let my fantasy go on. Everybody knows now.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Morgan Freeman. I don't know. I'm like, wait, Samuel Jackson. What was I saying? No, it was Morgan Freeman. But I mean, he did a great job. You weren't really sure how to take him, and you're kind of like, what do I do with this? And at the end, you're really like, yeah, I just want to hit you. That's all I want to do.
Well,
but
Gigi, your
signal. This was just an explosive movie.
Your signal is breaking up, Gigi. Your signal is breaking up, so you may want to check your mic levels there. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Can you hear me
now? Oh, my God. That's crystal clear.
I feel like the guy that could. Can you hear me now? No, but
you actually sounded like...
I highly recommend it. Because you know what's cool about this and why you guys will dig it, why the G&T audience will dig it? It's because it's not your normal action movie. It's not just about that. It's kind of Matrix-y. Like, they curve bullets, and, like, they talk about, you know, how humans, there are, like, certain amount of humans on the world get this adrenaline rush that they can control, and they can speed their heartbeat up to 400, you know, beats per minute, and they can do this, and they can do that.
I can do that, but they rush me in the hospital when they do it.
Was that electroshock?
Yes. But go ahead, Gigi, continue.
So, and they're talking about this whole thing, right? And these are the people they hire as their assassins. And, you know, only certain few people are born with this ability, and they can control it. And, I mean, they can manipulate time and space. And they can pretty much, you know, they're pretty much masters. They're almost like gods walking the earth. You know, they can leap 50 feet, you know, across the thing as if we were jumping up in the air like a foot. I mean, they're like almost, I don't want to say superhumans because they're not. They're just using this sort of adrenaline they have in their body to, like, create some sort of mass illusion that they are superhuman. But, I mean, just the things, the visuals are amazing. Like, the eyesight that they have and their ability to detect things. And, I mean, you know, the whole – and, yeah, I got into the curving bullets thing. I thought that was awesome. And the whole training that he went through. I mean, wow. I was like, oh, cool. I'm on. But it was awesome. And, yeah, Jolie was bad. The plot really isn't anything, you know, intricate. I mean, there are a couple plot twists at the end. But really, you didn't see him coming? Yeah, you did. So, I mean, it wasn't big, but you need to see it for the visuals, because, wow, that was well pulled off. It was well executed. I think they did a great job. I mean, like I said, there's a few things I could complain about with, you know, certain actors' performances and certain pacing of certain things. But the big thing I have to say that was a big con, okay, this was James McAvoy. James McAvoy should never, ever, ever swear, ever. He is too innocent to swear. And the whole movie, like, you don't even really notice. I don't even know if – I couldn't tell you if he does swear in the whole movie, because, I mean, it just blends in with the dialogue. But at the end, he delivers this one line, uses the F word, and I just went, no, he can't swear. No, I don't like it. Like, you wanted to slap him on the hand. You just know. James McAvoy, you are not allowed to swear ever in any movie you do, because it just doesn't suit you. I mean, you're like I said, the sensitive guy that women fall for, and they want him to come rescue them and go sit by Brooke and read love poems. You're not allowed to say the F word. You're not. No. So, I mean, I just have to say, I hope he's listening, because no, that's a career killer. I'm telling
I'm
you
sure
right now,
is.
Buddy. No, you can't. Now, yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah, right now.
Now, how many bad, or should I say, early good Angelina Jolie movies did this one get?
That's hard to count on one hand.
No. How many good ones, not how many good movies did she do? How what's the points for this movie in comparison to, say, you know, how many good Angelina how many of her movies there were earlier on? All right, just give us the number scale,
Gigi. Okay, I'm going to give this one. I was gonna say, it's dead. It's like the McEnroe thing. Just let it go. It died. We're still recouping from last weekend.
Okay, how many hot, beautiful Angelina Jolie lips did this one get? Is that easier?
Pouty lips.
I'd say I'm gonna give this one like a 7, because the visuals were awesome. The chase scenes were awesome. It was action packed. I loved it. You know, I loved the comedy, man. It was the comedy. And that first half hour, even though there's no action in it, wow, that first half hour of that movie is great. So I highly recommend people see it. It's a fun flick. It's something cool to watch during summer. So I'd say, yeah, everybody needs to go check this one out.
Okay. Hey, do you want to check out our international listeners list before you go, Gigi?
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. This one's for Gigi and Zombie Sheep. This week's international listeners start with Auckland, New Zealand.
Woohoo!
We finally hit New Zealand and the zombie sheep. So,
I'm so excited! And I hope they all have zombie sheep! I want you all to send pictures of your pet zombie sheep! That's what I want
you
to do.
You know what it is? The farmers actually probably out in New Zealand, the farmers actually put their computers out there. The speakers for the sheep can listen to our program. That's probably
right.
It.
That's what it is.
I think so.
From there, we go up to Marchem, Belgium. So we're in Belgium now. In Canada, we hit...
Notice we didn't, there was no chair. I'm sorry to people in
Belgium.
Yay.
No, we love Belgium. But then we go up to Canada, where we have Stony Plain and Edmonton in Alberta, Canada, and Montreal in Quebec, Canada.
Cool. Hockey!
From there, we go out to Japan, to Tatsuno, Japan.
So we can always say we're huge in Japan.
Yes, we're huge in Japan.
And I can say that.
From there, this isn't international, and I'm thinking I have family out there, so it might be them, but Honolulu, Hawaii. So.
You have relatives in Hawaii?
Yes, I have relatives in Hawaii.
Why are we not there?
Absolutely.
Because the airline that Sean works for doesn't fly to Hawaii, so.
Oh, Sean, just let me down right there.
So that's why we're not out there with my niece, Lisa, who is living. I have three beautiful nieces and a wonderful nephew, but my niece, Lisa, lives out in Hawaii with her husband, who is stationed there. So.
Well, be. Oh,
but since we said that, let me go on to and just thank the rest of our listeners who have joined the chat room since we started the show with Amber, Tanya, Chris from CVPI, Becky Ray, Kenny B from Pyra, Ectopus. I hope I said that right. Ectopus. Oh, I get it. Ha, ha, ha. Ecto. I get it. Miranda and Dave. But, TG, we're going to have to go and take a break so that we can come back with Rosemary Ellen Guiley and Frank's Box.
Oh, sounds awesome, guys. Thank you. And everybody go check out A Horrible Angelina Jolie and A Swearing James McAvoy in Wanted.
We will definitely do that.
You know what, guys? They've always come up with these names for these new boxes out there. It's a good thing no girl has came up with a box yet, you know? I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh.
The comments of Strombers do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
And with that, we're going to take a quick break. We will come back in just a minute. While we're on break, please enjoy Spirits by Angela Pear. Angel Pear. There you go.
Absolutely.
Angel Pear with Spirits.
Absolutely. Hey, stick around,
everybody.
Experience
the mystery of the deep sound through ghost stories by attending the highly respected Roswell Ghost Tour. Your experienced guide will lead you on this two-hour outdoor walking tour through the historic district of Roswell. One of the highlights of the tour is a visit to Founders Cemetery, the burial site of Roswell King, where bodies are buried beneath modern streets and houses. Grand Greek Revival mansions and humble mill workers' apartments are some of the haunted sites you'll see on this mile of easy walking. Check RoswellGhostTour.com for the current schedule. Tours run most Friday and Saturday nights year-round, and private tours may be arranged. Reservations are required. Call 770-649-9922. That's 770-649-9922 for more information. Happy haunting from Roswell Ghost Tours.
The Darker Side of the Moon is a listener's guide to the creepy, the spooky, and the unexplained. The Darker Side is an alternative variety show that delves deep into the shadowy secrets of just about everything, from the occult to dark comedy. Sometimes serious, but mostly fun. Our show has a little for everyone. Join me, Becky Ray, and Laura Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's 8 p.m. Central and 6 p.m. Pacific at DarkerSideRadio.com.
This is Doug.
And this is Scott L. from
Ghostly Talk. Reminding you to tune in to Ghostly Talk on Sundays from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Heck yeah, Doug. Visit Ghostly Talk at www.ghostlytalk.com. One of the world's premier paranormal talk shows.
Totally, Scott. Download hundreds of free show archives. Read the world's latest paranormal news. And be sure to visit our forums.
Pimping the grassroots paranormal community since 2002.
Dead air never sounded so good on Ghostly Talk.
Okay, well, if anyone else wants to call in and talk on the G&D show, all they have to do is dial 605-475-8590. When asked for the conference code, enter 555-1081, followed by the pound sign.
This is Mark and Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel. And you're listening to the Ghost Man and... Hi, this is Mark Moran and Mark Skirman from Weird U.S. on the History Channel. And you're listening to the Ghost Man and... Hi, this is Mark and Mark from Weird U.S. on the History Channel. And you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show.
Sounds handy.
What's going on, man?
Oh, I'm just checking the system, seeing how everything's working here.
Right, right. Well, hey, everybody, listeners around the world, welcome back to the Ghost and Demon Hunter Show. Glad to have you, everybody. And you know what? We've been talking for so long about spirit communication, and I don't know about you paranormal investigators out there in the field, but EVP is one of my specialties. That's one of the things. I can't even say specialties, guys, because there is no specialist in these fields, in the field of paranormal investigations. But I love it. I love to do it. I love to I don't love listening to it afterwards and trying to find the clips. But, you know, I do love taking EVPs, guys, because I think that gives you a sense of, you know, what's there when you get something. I mean, you actually get more bang for your buck with EVP. What do you think, Demon Hunter?
I definitely enjoy EVP of all the different things to do. I mean, like I said, I don't go out looking for information most of the time. What I do is talk to people. But when I am going to go out and listen to or do some kind of investigation, usually for fun, EVP is the way I go.
Right, absolutely. And you know what? Tonight, guys, there's a crazy new thing out there. Frank's Box, Radio Shack Hack, there's all different types of them, guys. They all pretty much do the same thing. And we're going to clear up some things. And we're going to be speaking with, tonight, live on the G&D show, the beautiful author, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Rosemary, you're in the house. What's going on, girl?
Hi, Sean. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, Rosemary. How are you doing?
I'm busy as usual, huck the eyeballs and writing and projects. As you know, we just saw each other last weekend at Troy's Fabulous Conference, and I just got through going through my clip, you know, my tapes from my Frank Box sessions that I did there.
Yes, and I am sorry to say I didn't get to sit in on the session, and it was very upsetting that I didn't get to sit in on that.
Yeah, well, you know what? Rosie, you get to go all these cool places. Of course, you're a great author. You have so many books out there right now. I couldn't even name. I was going to start naming off your books, and I figured that would take most of your segment. So, you know, but you do this. I wanted to go ahead and jump right in. Would you rather say the Radio Shack Hack or Frank's Box?
Well, I have a number of variations. I have two Frank's Boxes that Frank Sumption made himself. I have the mini box, which was invented as an adaptation of Frank's Box by Ron Ricketts down in Texas. I have a Radio Shack Hack, a very simple AM radio that you can make an adjustment to turn it into a scan device. And then I also work with Craig Telesha, who's a tech expert in my neck of the woods. He's got a Craig's Box, which is his own adaptation of the technology. So there's lots of iterations out there. The schematics for these things are published on the internet. People are building their own devices, tinkering around with them. And like you said, they all basically do the same thing. It's EVP with muscle, basically. It's we're
right.
getting into a new field called instrumental transcommunications, which is the evolution from EVP. It's about trying to have meaningful, real-time, two-way communication, not passive, not where you put equipment out and hope you capture something and look for it later. You actually get it, listen to it, experience it as it's happening. It's very unpredictable. It's a frontier that we have a long ways to go in exploration, but I think it's very exciting. I think it's where a lot of the action is in the paranormal.
Right. Now, hey, Rosie, when you start this stuff, or when, what was his last name, Frank?
Frank Sumption. He lives in Colorado.
Okay.
And most of these boxes, they're called Frank's Box because they're sweep technology, radio scan technology. Probably a better generic term for them all would be Ghost Box. But I'm sure the term Frank's Box is going to stick because that's how people know it. He's the guy who put these devices on the map. Actually, we've been experimenting, and when I say we, human beings have been experimenting with technology for real-time communication for about a century now, a little over a century.
Right.
And sweep technology has been in use in devices since the 70s. But we're seeing a new wave of that now, and it's gotten a lot of attention because there's so many people in paranormal investigation who are interested in using technology to try and find out what's really out there.
Right. Now we're, go ahead, Nathan.
No, I am actually, some people are having trouble on one of the systems. I'm trying to fix it for
okay.
them.
Okay. Well, I was going to ask Rosie, now everybody that's out there listening right now, if anybody's an EVP junkie like myself and like Rosemary, ITC, Mark Macy, I forget the doctor's name that he had recorded, and he got the dead doctor's voice to come up, and he used almost, it sounded like a fan.
Spirit cop.
Going back...
Yes, it was Doc Mueller. Yeah, that was George Meek's Spiracom, and he worked with a medium named William O'Neill.
You know, it's almost like, Rosemary, that we've found a way to take the Spiracom and put it into a little handheld device. Am I wrong?
Well, almost. What Meek did has been almost impossible for other people to duplicate. He had this device that... the medium, William O'Neill, was able to have really sustained dialogue with this entity who identified himself as Doc Mueller. And the voice speaks in a very robotic, plant, tinny, kind of sci-fi,
right,
you know,
right.
sort of tone.
Take me to your leader. Yeah.
There's actual conversations. And in reality, in ITC, usually what you get are phrases and words more like EVP, but you're just hearing them in real time. I have been able to get some very long phrases. Frank Sumption gets some complete sentences. I think a lot of it has to do with what we refer to as conditioning, that when you engage in this work, you're engaging your consciousness as well as your technical expertise, your desire to investigate and whatnot. And it's like meditation. The more you do it, the more your own subtle energy changes. And I liken it to being like a horse with a rider. You've got conditioning with you, your device, the sort of the attunement of frequencies and energies from other dimensional realms. And that takes a while to really gel and come together. I've noticed
right.
Periodic kind of steps of improvements in my own communications, which I think are just the byproducts, I don't want to say just the byproducts, but are the results of a cumulative effect of my work in this field.
Right. Right. Now, hey, Rosemary, for our listeners, can you break down what a session is like? I know a lot of people here saying a Frank's Box session. What exactly is a session? I mean, how do we start?
Well, these devices, what they do is they scan low-band frequency, usually AM radio. Some of them will do AM or FM. One of my Frank's boxes, for example, will do either one, and you flip the switch. The best scans happen on AM, And it's like taking a tuner or a, holding down a speak button and listening to a scan of all the stations in the receiving area very rapidly. What you're going to get are little bits of the broadcast. And you can adjust the scan rate slower or faster. You have to use your intuition to arrive at a point where you're getting a good noise matrix. If the scan is too slow, you're really getting too much of the broadcast, and that's what comes through. You're really listening to the radio. If it's too fast, it's difficult to hear messages, and it's also very fatiguing to listen to. So ideally what you're listening for are, as you're asking questions, you ask questions and you hear the scan over speakers, either built-in or external. Sometimes the answers come in little phrases and bits that pop out from the radio scan, and I consider those interesting but not the best. You have to ask yourself sometimes, what are the odds, the infinitesimal odds, that just the right words would pop out of a radio scan in answer to a question? But the very, right. very best results are messages that literally float on top of the scan, and you attune your ear to it over time. It's really like a lot like listening for EVP against an, like a white noise matrix. And they're in good communication sessions, I believe, and there's no way to prove this, of course, we're just collecting evidence in support of something, that these messages, you can hear them on top of the radio scan. They actually separate out, and those are the very best. You record right. the sessions, you know, you have to go back and listen. Sometimes the recorders, just like EVP, will pick up things that you didn't hear with your ear. As I mentioned, it is fatiguing to be intensely focused on the scan. But you never know what you're going to get. And sometimes communicators come through who are able to identify the people in the room. I've heard my own name many times over the box. Some of the clips that you're going to be playing tonight have named people present during scans. You always run the risk of a negative entity. Those happen just like in any kind of spirit communication.
Right.
A good number of us have been cussed out over the box. And when that happens, you turn it off. You know, I wouldn't listen to a nasty person. I'm certainly not going to listen to a nasty spirit.
Right. Right. Now, that's, Rosemary,
that's a
one thing I... Go ahead, babe. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, that's a basic session. I usually run them for, 10 minutes to 30 minutes tops. I feel that once you're over 30 minutes, it's kind of counterproductive in terms of your own energy. Also, if you're going to get some communications, at least from my experience, they happen fairly quickly in a session, like within a few minutes of start time. So if nothing seems to be showing up, and a lot of sessions don't, they're just completely empty like EVP sessions, then I don't let the box go for long, long periods. There are other researchers, however, who feel differently, that they feel that they get their best results from turning a box on, like in a home environment, and letting it go for a long period of time, recording it, and then, you know, checking the recording. So I think it just depends on what you arrive at as an individual through your own experience, how the circumstances that you feel are best conducive to results.
Right. Now, I got to say, Rosie, for the people that have been in the closet for 1,000 years and they don't know who you are, Rosemary is very down to earth, guys. She is a happening kind of chick in a far out way, and we love her to death. But with this box, Rosie, when you started telling me, when I found out that you were into it and you were working with it, I said, man, I've heard all these stories about this stuff, and I thought most of this has to be radio interference, and people are just misinterpreting what's going down there. But when I heard you were doing it, I value your opinion. I value what you think and the way you do things. And I got to say, the clips that we're going to play tonight, guys, that we got from Rosemary, she does her homework, guys, because I'm sitting here looking, Rosemary, at the Radio Shack hack that I got the diagram for off the internet. I went to Radio Shack. I got the little white unit here. I think it comes in white and black, digital AMF handheld device. It doesn't have any external speakers. You have to actually have a headset for it, at least the one I got. And you basically take off the back panel and you tear out, I think it's the mute button, isn't it, Rosemary?
I'm not sure what it is that's clipped. Craig Talesha did my Radio Shack hack, and I'm honestly not sure what got clipped out, but it's something you can do in a few seconds.
Right, and I did it. I took a pair of pliers, guys. I wiggled that little sucker out the back there, and it finally broke off, and I hit the on button, and it just continuously, it's like when you hit seek on your radio. It just keeps scanning, guys. It doesn't stop when it finds a station. It just keeps scanning, so it's kind of like a constant white noise in the background, but it's different because, I mean, I worked with this a couple times, Rosemary, and I was doing it, and what I would do was I had it plugged into my recorder so I couldn't hear what was going on, but I would turn it down really low, and I would say, if there's anyone here in the room, could you please tell me your name? And then I would turn it back up. And over the background noise, guys, you get WKRP, and you get the Madonna songs and stuff like that. You get bits and pieces of all this. But over top of all that, it didn't come from the background noise. Over top of the background noise, I got Bob. Very clear. It was a man's name. Some people could still argue, hey, man, that was probably from radio interference, whatever. But you have to just... You have to hear it, right, Rosemary? I mean, it's over the background noise.
You do, and when you start getting used to these recordings, it does become easier to separate out, the better quality ones. This is a highly subjective field, and, it's easy for skeptics to take pot shots at it. I think we should be skeptical about a lot of things and look for natural explanations first. But the communicators have a different timbre to their voices that is subtly different than just something that pops out over a radio. Sometimes the cadence is different. There's a different dimensional quality to the voice. They sound like they don't have quite the what I would call the three-dimensional timbre of a human voice, right. And they are very, very different.
Hi, Rosemary.
It is a hazard. You're absolutely right, Sean. There is a hazard of misinterpreting the radio bits themselves or just picking up radio interference. Some people have said, well, how do you know you're not getting CB or cell phone things kind of butting in? And like I said, this is an experimental subjective field. It's actually been around now, ITC, for about 30-some years, and there's some fascinating evidence piled up. There have even been forensics done on some of these voices that have demonstrated that they probably did not originate from human vocal cords.
Right, absolutely. And, of course, you guys are going deeper. But I think a lot of it, Rosemary, is people don't know about the Frank Spots. They don't know about the Radio Shack hack. They don't know what they're looking for. So when they buy one of these things, they turn it on, at least for me. You turn it on, guys. You hear all this chaos from the background noise. Like, just go through your radio right now. Hit the scan button and just keep going, and that's what you get in the background. And I kept thinking, wow, am I supposed to listen for, like somebody to come up and go, hey, tonight's guest is Rosemary Ellen Guy, and then you get cut off or whatever. And I say, oh, my God, I'm talking to Rosemary. She's on the other side. And it's not that, guys. These voices actually come over the background noise. I don't know if they draw energy from them or what, but, I don't know. I mean, this is an early process. It's an early technology, and people like Rosemary are out there every day trying to deal with this. And hopefully, I mean, do you think we'll ever come to a conclusion of how to do this, like a structured way of doing these sessions?
I think, Sean, that someday we are going to have the technology that will enable us to, say, pick up a certain kind of telephone or plug in a certain kind of computer, and we are going to have conversations with the dead people on the other side and maybe even higher-level beings from other dimensions, like you and I are talking today. I'm sitting here on a telephone talking to the two of you, and we're going to be able to have those fluid conversations. We may be a very long way off from that. And if people think that you turn on a Frank's box and have those kinds of dialogue now, that isn't it. It's still very, very rough and raw.
Right.
But I think what I find very exciting about this field, not just for the potential, is that it's coming now into what I call mainstream paranormal investigation. ITC and these devices, they've been in use, widespread use among researchers around the world for 30, 40 years now, but what I would call the average investigator hasn't used them. We've basically been sticking with EVP. Now we have this higher level technology that's widely available. Well, you can't buy Frank's boxes because they're not on the market. You can
right.
buy a mini box. That's just debuted in December. It is expensive, but it's the next best thing to getting a box made by Frank himself. And the Radio Shack hack is $25, $30, another $20 for one of those little iSymphony, the iPod iSymphony speakers, which work pretty well as an external speaker. And then
I haven't heard of that, Rosemary. I haven't heard of that.
There is a little speaker that will fit on the Shack hack, and it's called the iSymphony. I think it's called the iSymphony T speaker. I think it runs about $20. Very effective if you want to not have to use headphones, if you want to have like a group of people of Shack hack. So this is putting a different kind of tool into the hands of a lot of people. Now, the more people who go out there and work with this, compare notes, collect data, do this conditioning, I think that's going to help our, what I would call the penetration of our access to the other side.
Right, right. I tell you what, Ruth.
I encourage people to do it. I encourage groups to get equipment. Like, if you can't afford $500 for a mini box, which is about what they're running, maybe your group can pool together and get a box that you can take out on group
investigation. And then they should pull together $25,000 so they can buy an infrared camera and lend it to me.
Yes. Donate it to the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. But hey, Rosemary, you know what? A lot of people are going to start talking about the safety of these little boxes. As you guys keep building this technology and you start getting these results, like we're going to play tonight, people are going to go, oh my God, that's amazing. They're going to run out. They're going to get these boxes. Now, let's go back to Ouija boards. Yeah, yeah, I know. Everybody's going to say, oh, here goes Sean with the Ouija board kick again. Me and Nathan's fought over it for years. But the safety of using a Ouija board. People say, man, you're in there. You're opening yourself up to all these different types of entities. Rosemary, what's the difference between using of course, I know the difference between using a Ouija board and this, but the safety levels. What's the difference between using that and a Radio Shack hack or something like that to communicate with the dead?
I think that with these devices, it does require extra discernment because you are dealing with, well, any kind of spirit interface requires some grounding and discernment, but you're dealing with a higher level here with box technology, and it requires some more understanding, attitude adjustment, so to speak, that you're going into it with the right intention, the right attitude. You can't be full of fear about what you're going to contact and do effective work in this area. A lot of people who have problems with spirit communications have, at a subconscious level, a lot of fear of what they're afraid might come through. Well, the good, the bad, and the ugly is out there, just like it is here on planet Earth. So that is a hazard. It's not something that I would consider prohibitive by any means. But the researchers in this area and also the spirit contacts that we've developed have all emphasized the same thing. Purity of motive, desire for truth and enlightenment, a seeker of truth are going to be the things that help gird your energy field to get to the right level of communication. But for people who've had problems, for example, or they're petrified that demons are going to come through, I wouldn't recommend pursuing this kind of research. I wouldn't recommend automatic writing, the tarot dousing, Ouija boards, anything that would open up communication with the other side. Those personalities just are not suited to it.
Now, we had spoken very earlier today about the the first time I was introduced to the box was when John Zaffis brought back some information, having worked with one, and they definitely got something bad coming through. And the people he was working with didn't know not to ask certain questions and were endangering themselves. So, I mean, should there be classes in how to use these boxes and what questions to ask and things like that before you go out and use one yourself?
I think that we do need to have some educational things going around in the community. And, in fact, April Slaughter, who is the co-director of the Paranormal Source, along with her husband, Alan, and I'm on their board of directors, she and I are developing some educational material to put out in the community. April has a Frank's box and a mini box herself, and she and I coordinate experiments. And I'm happy to say we're also going to be presenting together next year at some conferences.
Oh, wow.
We're in the process of doing that, developing some educational materials. I'd also like to point people to the website of the American Association for EVP, which is www.aaevp.com. They have published articles in their newsletter on safety considerations. And just today I got permission from them to reprint a couple of their really good articles addressing this. I'm going to be posting them on my website as a reference for people. Some of the considerations, the concerns, the cautions, and how to address them before you even get started in this kind of work. And I don't do this if I'm upset or worried or low energy. I think it's good to do this when you're in high energy, when you're feeling good about things. If negative things start coming through on the box, which really hasn't happened all that often for me, and most of the researchers I know in this field have had, over all of their experiences, just a minority of negative ones.
Have you ever had one of them curse
I
at
end
you?
The session.
Have
I
you ever had one of them session. Curse at you, Rosemary?
Yes, I have. I've heard words that you would never that the FCC would never allow on a radio. Craig tells a story, and he told it at the Troy's conference last weekend that, you know, he built his own box and he turned it on and the first thing it said was bastard. yeah, I mean, you kind of have to laugh at that, but, all of us have had cases of negative entities. There was one session at Troy's conference. I took the box, my mini box, on the nighttime investigation at the Haunted Lincoln Theater and did four sessions in different areas. And in one of the areas, there was an entity who came through who seemed to be upset. He said, "Hate the box," and cursed a lot. And I ended the session. You just don't tolerate that sort of thing.
It's like dealing with fourth graders.
Comment about, I want to say his comment about hate the box made me wonder. I thought, well, you know, maybe not everybody on the other side is thrilled to see this technology.
Well, it might be like an alarm clock, and they keep hitting the snooze, and you keep waking them up.
Or, you know, the idea of human beings penetrating direct communication into these other dimensional realms, it might not be entirely welcome, just like we might not welcome, an invading force on our shores, so to speak.
Now, have you considered the possibility...
You don't know what's going on.
Have you considered the possibility that maybe this is a dimension that we're going into similar to our own, and what you're communicating with are the people walking down the street talking to themselves, and they're just answering you from the other side, and all these people that have been over here all this time have been answering questions from boxes in the other dimension?
Well, that's a very interesting idea, you know, and the thing is that it certainly can't be ruled out. I mean, we really don't know exactly what we're accessing. People also have raised the question of, well, how do you know it's not demons doing the masquerade? Because that happens too. Low-level astral entities having fun. Well, it's hard to rule a lot of things completely out, but I think you have to look at the quality of the evidence that you get, not only from individual sessions, but over a long period of time, and where does it seem to be pointing. Also, the people who research in this field regularly, if you start using a box regularly, other things start happening for you in the way of attention from spirit. There are messages in dreams, intuitions, meditation. In other words, your whole bridge to the spirit world gets built up in many different ways, not just through box communications. So all of those things have to be taken into context in terms of a whole picture.
Well, Rosemary, why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we'll play some of your clips, and you can tell people where you got them and how you discerned what you were getting.
That's great.
All right, everybody, stick around. Sean?
Stick around, guys. Up next, we will be talking to the dead with author Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Stay tuned.
Attention, paranormal investigators in New Jersey and beyond. Be warned, this is not a parafest and not a social conference. This is intense. The Paranormal Intensive 2008 is coming to Hackettstown, New Jersey on Saturday, September 20th. This all-day event will offer workshop after workshop to hone your skills and broaden your investigative knowledge of the paranormal. Pick and choose the workshops you want at only $25 each. You can register online at www.njghs.net/paraintensive.html. Using PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa. That night, enjoy a buffet dinner and spirit circle with Jane Doherty, psychic medium at the haunted Charlie Brown Steakhouse in Hackettstown. This event is $60 per person and includes the dinner, tax, tip, and spirit circle in the private dining room on the second floor of this former hotel, where the young, distraught girl drowned in the bathtub and haunts this place to the day. Seating for this event is severely limited, so register online ASAP. The Paranormal Intensive 2008, September 20th, Hackettstown, New Jersey. Be there.
If credit card debt is making your life miserable and you're tired of living from paycheck to paycheck, get ready for a toll-free number that will change your life. Trinity Debt Management has been helping people just like you cut their interest rates by as much as 60% and increase their credit scores by up to 200 points. Trinity's counselors will explain the entire program with no pressure. Call Trinity today at 800-595-0052. 800-595-0052. Get a fresh start. For free information, call 800-595-0052.
Okay, well, wait, just do what you do.
Hello, this is Christopher Saint, and you're listening to Ghostman and Deviant Hunter Show, and we're the Booth Brothers with Children of the Grave. Yeah, stay tuned, they're the hot... Is that a radio show? Who was that again? Yeah, okay. Stay tuned and listen to Ghostman and Demon Hunter, they rock.
Hey, Ghostman and
Demon Man, whatever.
Ghostman and Demon Hunter, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
And that was the Booth Brothers. And remember, guys, we're doing the Booth Brothers Sound Alike contest. I'll be posting that clip on our MySpace page, and you can go and listen to it over and over again till you get the Booth Brothers just right. And then you can enter the Booth Brothers Sound Alike contest to win a copy of Ken Biddle's Orbs or Dust.
Orbs or Dust, great book that Kenny B came out with, guys. But I tell you what, tonight we're talking about a huge topic. I am so excited, man, because everybody knows I'm an EVP junkie, ITC junkie, all that stuff. Then we got a good friend of the show. She's my sweetheart, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. I keep messing up her name, and she's going to kill me. We got her on the line tonight, guys. We're talking about Frank's Box, the Radio Shack hack. It's this new idea of how to communicate with the dead, guys. You got pros and cons. All these negatives and positives, guys. And Rosemary, I just got to say, where we left off last time, I'm sitting here looking at my Radio Shack hack that I had built myself. And it just comes to mind that I know we talked about the safety of using them before and stuff like that. What do you call, because I know I've ran into some investigators that have different names for different types of entities. What do they call the dark forces or the ones that came over and start cursing and stuff like that? I mean, is there a name for them, or is there different terminology? What?
I haven't come across a name for them. They could be angry dead people. They could.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Angry dead people. They could be some sort of entity, like an astral entity that is personifying a human being. I can't classify everything negative as demonic in a classical sense. So many people take demonic to mean, you know, servants of Satan who have to steal your soul into hell. Well, in demonology, there are just all kinds of interfering spirits that just basically want to mess around with you. They're not out to destroy your soul. They're just messing around with your life. And those are called demons, as a generic term. So by that definition, they could be demons. It's sometimes hard to know. But angry dead people, I think that works for me.
I love it, Rosemary. And in fact, me and you think alike. I know you didn't want to hear that, but we do think alike on that level because I've always told people, be careful when you start classifying, putting into different classes these types of entities that you come in contact with, because people are so quick to jump to, oh my God, that's a demon, or that's Satan, or that's angelic, or whatever. Why? I always say in life, you got school teachers, the mailman, the milkman, whatnot, and then you have rapists, child molesters, axe murderers, stuff like that. What makes you think in death you're not going to come in contact with these people, you know?
I refer to them as communicators, and I think that's a good label that includes everything. Sometimes we just don't know. They don't give us enough information about themselves. I have heard from entities that I felt were on some of the higher levels who are assisting in ITC. One guide-like figure by the name of Seven has identified, I say itself because I think it's a collective entity. Seven has come through in a lot of my sessions. But here again, we just don't know for certain. We just have to keep collecting data so that we can start filling in the blanks.
Well, why don't we play some of these clips that we have, Rosemary, so people can hear what went on when you were using the box.
And we got to tell them. We got to tell them, Nathan, real quick, guys at home, if you're faint of heart, go walk away from the radio show, guys. Walk away from your speakers there at home, because these are actual what we believe to be voices of the dead. So get ready for that.
All right, here we go. Here's the first one that you sent us, Rosemary.
A lot of curiosity about this.
That's from Mansfield Reformatory, the Ohio State Reformatory, a couple of weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago. And that's down in solitary confinement. I'm using a mini box with one of those little iSymphony tea speakers. And just before the message, I'm saying something about you might be curious about this. Sometimes I talk about the device, that it can be communicated, spirit can communicate over it, and people on the other side might be curious about it. And a voice comes along over the scan and says, it's dark.
Let's just play that clip where it says that so that I can cut that part out for people to hear.
Now, I don't know about you guys out there in radio land, but I can definitely hear it's dark. I can hear that come right out and slap you right in the face.
That's a very clear recording, yes. And I've had other people listen to it and gotten a consensus on that.
Well, let's go to the next one here, Sean.
Okay.
This was the second one you sent me. I labeled with them with just the one word, like you sent them to me, so that people can't front load them. But this is the. I just labeled it the Rosemary.
Okay. Now that's also in Mansfield, and that's during the same session. It's a little bit later on, and I'm talking to some of the other people present. The guys from Ghostly Talk were there. Doug was there, and Bonnie. I'm not sure if Scott was sitting in on that session. Doug was also recording, and all of a sudden this voice says, the box is talking. I'm getting increasing comments in messages about the box itself.
Okay. And they seem to know it's the box.
It's the box. Okay. We don't know how well they hear us over it. You know, it may be the same chop.
You know what, Rosemary? I'm coming out. You have inspired me. That's it. Tomorrow I'm coming out with Sean's Magic Box. That's going to be the new thing. Actually, it's going to be a Radio Shack hack in a cardboard shoebox. But I think I got an angle there.
Well, maybe if you line the shoebox with static wiring, Sean, you could call it a Faraday cage with a box inside. And
Rosie could be writing a book about me next month. You never know.
Well, I'm going to play that one more time for everybody. I didn't cut that one out, but I'll play that clip one more time.
I heard that. I heard the man's voice.
It's right there at the end. It's a little fainter than the other voice. The box is talking.
And see, where are you going to hear that? I mean, honestly, Rosie, on the radio, I mean, at the time, you know what the chances are? It's like winning the lottery to be talking through this box, trying to communicate with the dead, and you get stuff like that back. I mean, it's just amazing.
Well, you do have to factor that in. In terms of how likely would this have a natural explanation.
Yeah.
Well, the next one I have, Rosemary, is labeled Steve.
Okay.
Now, did you get a yes or no from that, Rosemary?
I don't think it comes across on the radio too well. This was with the Frank's Box in a location called Booby's Brewery in Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, where Craig and Rick Fisher and some other investigators and I had been doing long-term investigations there. It's haunted. And there's quite a bit of buzz on the box. In this, as listeners can tell, the scan is different in almost every location. But we had asked who's present, and a male voice came on and said, Steve. And then I come on and say, that's Steve.
Now, Rosie, you know I love you, but you just can't say that on the radio. I'm kidding. Did you say Boobies Brewery?
I'm sorry. It's the way it's pronounced.
Well, come on, Rosie. I had to take it.
I really think what really upset Sean is you went to a brewery without him. And that,
yes, actually I did, especially by that name. And then Rosemary went ahead and didn't tell me the name of the brewery. That was stuff all night I could have been making fun of.
I spelled out the phonetics for you in the email.
Well, I actually tried to take some of the answers off of that. I cut the answers you got out and then tried to pull down some of the static. So let's see what we got off the first one here. That was the first one that we got.
Yeah.
And then this was the second.
And it says Steve, man.
It said Steve. I was very interested in that.
You know, yeah, and
what happens a lot is that sometimes communicators will identify themselves, and then you don't get anything more from them. You know, they don't, either they can't or they don't. I do think that there are drop-ins who just, you know, they just drop in for a short period of time. But we don't know yet what enables these bridges to form and to stay. And they may only form very quickly and then disintegrate. Like I said, we're at a frontier and we just have to keep experimenting.
Oh. Now, hey, Rosie.
Go ahead, Sean.
Oh.
Rosemary, when you're doing this kind of stuff, sister, are you ever worried about possession or anything like that? I know a lot of people, they say don't play the Ouija board by itself when you're by yourself or stuff like that. Is that why you're with a group? Or do you suggest doing this by yourself, like at home and things like that?
A lot of researchers do it by themselves. I think if you have a really solid psychological footing, a good grounding in understanding the paranormal, not being fearful of it, it's fine to pursue the work on your own. I seem to have a pretty good buffer around me. I don't take it for granted, but I think that I have a natural good buffer, and that enables me to do this work. And this is the work that I'm meant to be doing in the paranormal. So I'm not bothered by a lot of things that seem to bother other people with thinner boundaries. But at the same time, I'm practical. I don't run this in my home for long periods of time because I think that they do open up portals. And I spend so much time, poking around in the paranormal that when I come home, I just want peace and quiet. You know, I don't want portals open.
Right.
So I am careful in that regard. And I think if you develop some common sense prudence, try some things and see how well they work, you can get a pretty good feel for how you should conduct your business in the paranormal. A lot of people who are new in the paranormal kind of plunge into the deep end of the swimming pool, and that's how they wind up in trouble. I hope we have time to hear the Lincoln Theater recordings, because I'm really excited about those.
We've got four more clips, Rosemary, in about 10 minutes. So what I'm going to do first is play the two that you weren't too sure about, the weird voice and the cell phone, and then we'll go into the Joey and the Rachel ones.
And Nate, I just got to say real quick, Rosemary was telling us the Ghostman and Demon Hunters show is the very first to air these clips that Rosemary sent us.
Very cool. Very cool.
You're the first to air the Lincoln Theater clips, which I just got last weekend, and I just finished it, late last night.
Well, we are honored, and let me play the weird voice one first, because this one kind of threw me. Is this the same voice, like cut and clipped twice, or did it come through twice like this with the weird voice?
The weird voice actually came through three times, and the clip has been edited to compress two of the voices. This was from Mothman Investigation in Point Pleasant last September with the Frank's Box at Lowe's Hotel, which is haunted. And I keep Frank's Box in a crate, little plastic crate that I wheel it around in, and this voice, this kind of hoarse, raspy voice, came through and said, "No crate." And I didn't know whether it meant that whatever was communicating through the box didn't want the box to be turned off and put back in the crate, or whether, it wasn't fancy enough wheels. I'm not certain. but it's a very clear and I call it the Hollywood creepy voice because it's hoarse and raspy.
All right, let's play the weird voice.
That sound in the middle going, that's me. And just
we recognized your voice, Rosemary. We knew that was you. Your voice, nobody can confuse your voice for a weird voice on the Frank's Box.
I'm not communicating from the other side yet.
Oh, I know Rosemary's voice. It's actually on my alarm clock. It says, "Wake up, Sean," every morning.
Actually, that's the Frank's Box. She's communicating to you over it, Sean.
She actually is, I think.
But that you got that down in Point Pleasant.
Yes, it was a very strange weekend down there. We had a number of strange things happen with Frank's Box. And the other clip that I sent you from the Lowe's Hotel actually didn't come directly over the box, but it's the sound of a box transmission. And at the time, the box was off in my little crate in the hotel room, and I was placing a cell phone call to another researcher to alert him to the time of the next session. Couldn't get through on a cell phone, and when he showed up, he said I had indeed left a message for him on my cell phone. It was registered to my number, and he played it back for me, and it was the sound of a box transmission.
Well, let's listen to that. That's Phil's cell phone.
To replay, press 4.
replay press 4 was not part of the message there. But what really surprised me about that...
I left that in to demonstrate that it had been a cell phone message.
What surprised me about that one was when I first heard it, I thought you had recorded a Frank's Box conversation on somebody's, like, cell phone. I didn't realize that somebody received that message when the Frank's Box was turned off. And you can hear the conversation going on in the background, and I thought it was you people talking while the Frank's Box was going on.
It's one of those high strangeness things that happen in the paranormal that just makes you scratch your head.
Well, you know, Mark Macy guy said for the longest time when he was trying to contact the dead through using ITC techniques, after a while, these things started calling his phone. He would pick it up and he would get that kind of stuff on his phone line. So who knows? The longer you do this, maybe stuff happens.
Well,
yes, I know other researchers who got literally phone calls from the dead or messages left on their telephone machines. I have some recordings of those myself, and yeah, you just can't explain them. But the more you get into this area, the stranger some of the things are.
Well, now we get to those ones that you were telling us about, the ones from the Lincoln Theater.
Well, I'm very excited about these.
And,
me too.
Let's start with the Joey.
Now, Joey refers to Joey Tito from the Ghost Research Society in Chicago. Joey and the GRS guys were, they go to Troy's conference every year and investigate and, you know, they're really good tech guys. And Joey was videotaping a lot of my box sessions as well as doing some other technical things in the theater. And we had the mini box down in the basement. Which is an area where a lot of activity had been reported. And I asked if there are communicators who know anybody present. And a voice says, Joey. And we have a little conversation. I edited out some of the dead air time. But I asked repeatedly, you know, is it the Joey who's in the theater? And a male voice says, yes, yes, it's him. And then a female voice at the end comes on and says, it's him.
Well, because we're running out of time, Rosemary, I'm going to play the clip, and then I'm going to play the parts that I pulled out of the clip so people can actually hear the voices.
Okay.
All right? So I'm going to play the clip first.
Can you identify anyone in the room here? Joey. Do you know Joey? There is a Joey in the theater. You know Joey? It's him?
Now, not only does it say Joey, and then it says it's him, like it's trying to point out somebody, but then you hear a girl's voice, plain as day, say, yes, it's him.
Right.
And I'm going to play those clips now that I pulled out and cleaned them up just a little so that people can hear them. The first is when it says Joey. Then it goes on and points him out. And this is the one that got me with the girl's voice actually saying, yes, it's him. I don't mean to front load these, but we played them once for you, so now I just want you to know what I'm playing.
It's him. It's him. It's him.
Okay, those
were very clear.
Those were very clear, and they answered you directly.
Yes. And Joey, by the way, has done a wonderful video of portions of these box sessions. He's got it up on YouTube. And also, I put it up on my stage page and MySpace. And Joey has it up on his
It's actually
too.
On the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter MySpace now, too, so people can check it out
Excellent.
There.
Excellent. There's a long version and a short version, and the short version has the clips at the end where Joey has timed the transcript of what's being said to the clip itself, which I think helps people, you know, tune their ear.
Well, I have the 9-minute one up on the on our site, so.
Great.
So let's go to the next one, which is the Rachel one, which is also.
And this is where a female communicator names me and says that. I ask why Rachel is in the theater, and she says author, and then she says Rosemary right at the end.
Well, I don't know if I don't think I caught that part. I caught a lot of stuff in there. I don't know if I caught the same stuff you did. So let's listen.
Okay. I would like to ask a question. Someone said I'm here. Who's here? Rachel? Rachel, do you know anyone in the room? Why is Rachel here in the theater?
Well, I caught the author that time. I didn't catch it the first time, I don't think. But let's hear some of the stuff I got, like the I'm here, I definitely caught. And then when you ask the question, it follows up with what I thought sounded like, everybody's here, Rachel.
Rachel?
Yes.
Rachel?
Yes.
Yeah, it was there.
Yeah, and then this I caught also... when it answers, I'm here again, or maybe this is the author. I don't know. I just definitely caught something on this section.
Why is Rachel here? Why is Rachel here?
So it was author there.
It says author. Yeah. Like that. Author.
It's talking about Rosemary.
You know, we talk about Rosemary all the time.
I know, but for that to be true, these... I was saying for that to be true, for them to know that Rosemary is an author, they have to have a knowledge beyond that of the living, actually. I mean, these people don't even know Rosemary. Well, we expect that they don't know if we're contacting the dead at the Haunted Lincoln Theater, and they can almost be like a psychic or something. They know that Rosemary's an author. They know she's there.
It would be evidence in support of the fact that some communicator on the other side is recognizing me personally.
It could be family, Rosie.
It could be. I don't have any relatives I know of named Rachel, but you just never know.
Well, Rosemary.
Here again, in this case, and also in the Joey clip, we did ask for more information. You know, are you family members? And. nothing else came through.
You are the only participant in this conference. Press any key to continue this conference.
Well, okay.
That was our own little EVP there. But I had so much going on, I couldn't watch the phones. We're going to have to go back with you watching the phones during the show here, Sean. But
we can do that.
But I'm sorry if we didn't get your call tonight. We were so busy trying to talk to Rosemary, and I was fixing some stuff on the system, which apparently didn't work. But, Rosemary, we're going to have to wrap up, so where can people check out more about your stuff?
www.visionaryliving.com is my main website. I have blogs posted about Mansfield and Lincoln Theater up on MySpace.
So they can catch your blogs, they can find your MySpace through there, they can find you through us, because you're always on our top friends on our MySpace.
And I believe that you have also up on your site the URL for Joey's YouTube clip. Can't remember it off the top of my head.
I don't remember it, but we do have the actual YouTube clip on our site, so people can see it right there and can get the link from that on our MySpace page.
And I've got it on the MySpace page, too. I think for people who are unfamiliar with this technology, it would be interesting just to see what's a box session like, get accustomed to the scan, and then the clips at the end that Joey's nicely put against the transcript. Very useful.
Okay. Well, everybody, I'm afraid it is time for us to wrap up for the evening. And, Sean, we have to thank everybody for joining us here for the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show tonight.
Absolutely, guys. Rosemary Ellen Guiley, wow, what a chick. I love her to death. Hey, guys, the dead are speaking. We got to find a way, a better way to listen. And be sure to check out our website at www.ghostanddemon.com and log on to our forums because we really want to hear from you.
And, Rosemary, if you'll just hang on for a few minutes while we wrap up.
Well, thanks, Nathan and Sean. It was great tonight.
It was great having you on, Rosemary. And everybody, we wanted to let you know that next week we will be having Mike McDowell from Indiana Ghost Trackers on. And, Sean, we'll be having our tour group of the month on, won't we?
We will. We'll be having Ghost Walks, Nathan. But actually, it's not a tour group. It's a play.
Oh.
About ghost hunters. It's a play about ghost hunters that they do, guys. And that's going to be hot. And it's going to be next week.
And don't forget, you can check us out if you missed this any part of this broadcast or any Ghost Man and Demon Hunter broadcast at Omnisound. You're listening to us on Omnisound. On Planet Paranormal, Podomatic, Podcast Alley, iTunes, Metafly, Podbean, Blueberry, Podcast Pickle, and ParaX Radio. And join us next week and listen in. And Rosemary Ellen Guiley, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
That's right, Rosie. Hey, don't go changing ghost hunters. You know we won't. We love you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, guys.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghost Man and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Yeah.